Name something that gets passed around.
A joint.
A joint.
Now, streaming live on the Marijuana Agenda.
Oh, really? What are you people? On dope?
It's time for Toker Talk Radio.
Hey, this is great, man.
The voice of the marijuana nation.
Marijuana is listed as a Schedule I drug. That is absurd.
Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ. That's 650-534-2565.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Hey, man. Am I driving okay?
Toker Talk Radio is your chance to make your voice heard in the marijuana nation.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
Send that message with clarity that good people don't smoke marijuana.
Now let's get to Toking and Talking with your host, Russ Belville.
Hey, welcome back, live listeners. It's time for Toker Talk Radio. And I got new ink. I was showing it off on the floating ghost cam there. Yeah, I got new ink while I was there. It's the Delta 9 tetrahydrocannabinol molecule. It's still sore, so you can see it's kind of red, but nice line work. And I've been off for the past couple days, Monday and Tuesday, because while I was there in North Texas, on Friday we did a banner drop. On Friday afternoon I did a show. Saturday we did the Global Cannabis March and then the after party. Sunday I got up and I donned a suit. We went out to this place up on a hill in Fort Worth, visited with a producer who we filmed a segment of me in a kind of a courtroom setting at a desk with a placard. Oh, I got to get my placard out and show it to you. I'll do the show and tell later. A placard that says Harry J. Anslinger. So I have this, I now have this hemp plastic molded placard with a little desk plate, a little desk placard with the pen hole, right? With a hemp pen too, that says Harry J. Anslinger on it. And I played Harry J. Anslinger and I read some of the most inflammatory Harry J. Anslinger racist quotes about marijuana. So for this film project, it's this documentary. So I'll let you know if that comes out, if I end up being the face and voice of Harry Anslinger. I don't know if that was necessarily the right choice, but hey, we'll see what happens. But then from there, made my way to Bossier City, Louisiana, nearby Shreveport, for my partner, Lori. Her family lives there, so we took her there to see her family, visit her mom and dad. And we figured, hey, since we're in Louisiana, let's catch a bus south and go to New Orleans, and we'll just fly home from New Orleans. So we spent a day in New Orleans. It was my first time in the Crescent City. Oh, my God, I will so be going back to New Orleans. It is just wonderful. I highly recommend it, and I know I recommend everything highly, but I do almost everything highly, but I definitely recommend a trip to New Orleans if you haven't made it. And we didn't even really spend a whole lot of money. Stayed in kind of a cheap hotel and then made our way to the Louis Armstrong Park and walking around Bourbon Street. And we'll talk a lot about that in the coming few days. Stay tuned. We've got more from the Texas Marijuana March. The women speaking, Coral Reefer and Erica Marie Tucker, a canna mom, when we return.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Looking for the 420 friendliest way to visit beautiful legal potland, Oregon?
I'm Lori Duckworth, inviting you to come stay with us at Delta 9 House and Studios.
You get your own private room with queen bed and access to our high-speed Wi-Fi, premium entertainment system, and more.
We'll even cook you breakfast. Look us up on Facebook at Delta 9 House.
That's facebook.com/Delta9House. Delta 9 House is booked through Airbnb and licensed by the City of Portland.
It's time for cannabis facts about Alzheimer's from Robert Platschorn's thesilvertour.org. This message is supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. A new Florida study in the journal Molecular and Cellular Neuroscience found that cannabis promotes the growth of healthy new brain tissue. It can slow the effects of Alzheimer's and may, in fact, be able to halt it entirely. A long-term study by Ohio State University's Professor Gary Wenk concludes that people who regularly use marijuana get Alzheimer's at a much lower rate than others. This was Cannabis Facts from thesilvertour.org. an educational nonprofit supported by our donors, and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
It's like I picked the wrong week to quit smoking.
Learn more at mjagenda.com.
I'm Russ Belville from The Marijuana Agenda. Join me every 4 weeks for Cannabis Sports Medicine from the Gridiron Cannabis Coalition. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about.
Shanna, y'all have their David, PKA, Dirtball.
It's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation. Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ.
Welcome back. I told everybody I'd just gone to New Orleans and run around mentioned I'd love to get to the Jazz Fest. Apparently, I missed the Jazz Fest by a day. Like, I was one day late for catching Jazz Fest. That would have been awesome. But I tell you, what I saw just walking around Bourbon Street and hanging out, it was just enough. But one of the things that, first of all, that was really cool is I checked into the Midtown Hotel, which was pretty low-rent hotel, gotta be honest. But hey, I'm a low-budget guy. But the best part about it, I'm checking into the hotel, and the clerk, she's filling out all the paperwork. She hands the card over. She's got to write the number on the envelope for our card and all. And I swear to God, we got room 420. I swear it. I put it in my Instagram account. Check it out, at Radical Russ. You can find it on my Instagram. We got room 420. Is that a sign or is that a sign? So put the bags away, went out, wandered Bourbon Street. Now, Bourbon Street is this thin little street. You know, French Quarter is these little thin, narrow streets. And they got cops got it blocked off. They got mounted cops. They got a few standing around cops. People just wandering down the streets, this whole closed off street with all these bars, with all this music and all these little daiquiri shops. You can stop in and refill your daiquiri and walk around with your plastic cup and just drink on the streets and go from bar to bar. That's okay. But weed's illegal? Come on now. All right, we're going to take you back to the North Texas Marijuana March, where two dynamic women spoke. First, Coral Reefer, you know her from Instagram and YouTube, but also Erica Marie Tucker, a mom in Texas who had to fight against the Child Protective Services there regarding her medical cannabis use. First, Coral Reefer.
Ladies and gentlemen, Coral Reefer. Woo! Hi, hello. This is actually my first time back to Texas in over a decade. So when I was here before, it was for a church conference. This is a little bit different. I'm having a great time, and I'm really excited to be back. The only reason I know about your march here in the Fort Worth area is because of social media. So as just mentioned, I am Coral. I am on Instagram. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook, YouTube. If you're talking about pot online, I'm there, and I'm with you, and I'm posting pictures too. And I want to tell you why that matters. It's really easy to look at big Instagram accounts, to look at the weed accounts and think they're just for sales. They're just promoting something that they want to make money off of, that cannabis has gone out of control and that social media with cannabis is no longer for advocacy. That is not true. Those accounts do not represent us. We are the cannabis users and we are the patients. Standing up, even if that means just posting a picture without your face in it, but telling your story, how you found cannabis, how you found out it helped you, the obstacles and hurdles in your way to access safe meds that benefit you. Those stories need to be heard from every single person here. We've had so many great speakers so far telling these really incredible stories of getting arrested for the cause, of going to City Hall, going to the governor's office. I am a patient with anxiety, and these things terrify me. Leaving my house is a struggle every single day. I have to amp myself up. I have to medicate. I have to make sure I know my plan for my errands if I'm going to go do them. So when I look at these big, huge tasks, they seem insurmountable. They seem so out of reach. It's not until I've surrounded myself with my friends that I found through social media. I surrounded myself with reefers, with people that follow me, that understand that this is about so much more than selling pot. It's about saving lives and reaching people across the entire world. That all of a sudden, I feel brave enough to go into these meetings. I feel brave enough to be in the marches. That's only because of us as a group. So social media with cannabis, it's huge, it's big, but it really relies on all of us as individuals to tell our story. And I want to tell you guys one thing I learned thanks to all of the followers that I've acquired over the years. I was very hesitant to offer merchandise. I didn't really see the need initially, and I really just wanted to focus on sharing what I found interesting and what I was learning about pot. Over and over, people said, we want shirts, we want this, we want that. I was really, really hesitant. I eventually released the Stony Sunday shirt, which I'm so excited to have. I love it. I love seeing the Stony Sunday shirts today around the crowd. I didn't think much of it. I didn't put much conscious decision-making into that choice. A couple rounds into those shirts, some reefers started contacting me, and they started saying, you're a cannabis advocate, right? Why is your shirt not on hemp? Why aren't you advocating for hemp? And I was a little bit defensive. I said, hemp's too expensive. I'm here for medical pot. I want to talk about cannabis medicine. And it was only from all of the messages, the tweets, the Facebook messages, the comments on Instagram, it was the demand from social media to pay attention to hemp that my mind suddenly was opened. And now that's all I'll release is hemp shirts. When it comes to textiles, that's all I'll release. When it comes to plastic merchandise, I'm begging Toker Poker, I'm begging Medtainer to have hemp plastic. But I can't do that by myself. They need to hear your guys' voices too. They need to know that hemp plastic is possible. Hemp t-shirts are possible. Cannabis medicine is possible, and that's only coming to light in the mainstream media because of social media and because of the voices and the stories that we're sharing. I have to give so much appreciation to the speakers that we've heard so far. In every single speech that I've heard so far, there was a tinge of social media. I don't know if you heard them or if you noticed, but to get in front of the people that we need to talk to, you need to go viral. You need to have your story catch on. You need these hashtags. You need people to catch on and pay attention. So being that voice, sharing those stories, joining these families' fights changes their lives. And when it comes to that millionaire, that billionaire changing the NFL, how do you think he's going to hear us? How do you think he's going to know that this matters to the people paying tickets to go to the games? It's from social media. So I really want to urge all of you to take another look at your Instagram, your Facebook, your Twitter, your Snapchat. Look how you can use it to share your story and empower the people around you and make friends so that you feel brave enough to go out there and get off the computer, get away from your phone and actually join together in a place like this, because it's so easy to just be posting and just look at social media as a one form of advocacy, but it's a multi-pronged attack. We need to be doing everything we can. We need to be posting. We need to be marching. We need to be sending letters. Find your strength, share it, and follow me on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, wherever you guys are. If you want to follow me, my name is Coral, Coral Reefer, or Coral Fish 19. I know it's Saturday, but happy Stony Sunday, y'all. Thank you, guys.
Give a very, very warm welcome to a brave woman and a brave family, Erica Marie Tucker of the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex.
Hi, guys. When he told me yesterday if I wanted to come speak, I was so nervous because I had been told by my judge and by the DA of Johnson County to remain quiet and not say anything about our story. And we've had so much support. Our story has gone viral all over the news, the internet, everything. And I wanted to be that voice that spoke out and not be afraid of a DA over a plant. Backstory of me is I have been suffering from seizures for 3 years out of nowhere. And I had to write this down because seizures, you don't have good memory. So one out of 26 people will develop epilepsy sometime in their life, and you will not know a reason why, you just develop it. I'm 33 years old and just developed it 3 years ago out of the blue. My husband walked in, I was on the ground having a seizure. Had no idea where it came up, had never been in an accident, it just happened, and that's how life goes sometimes. I'm a mom of 5 beautiful, amazing kids. I have my oldest is down here. My husband's over there in the back, you probably saw my little kids running around. My 3-year-old birthday is today, and he's the one. He's 3 years old. He's over there. He's kind of being a little crazy, so we had to kind of keep him over there. He's the one that I was nursing when all this went down. I had a really bad grand mal seizure, which is one of the worst seizures I've ever had. I was out for about 20 minutes, had to get transported for probably for the fifth time in my life to the ER. One of the nurses said, hey, you know, why aren't you taking your medicine? I didn't have insurance. Medicine was $325 a month. My rich friends can't even afford $325 a month. Like, that's ridiculous. Could not afford it. So I looked into every natural way possible of treating epilepsy. If Coca-Cola could have helped, I would have drank a whole bunch of Coca-Cola. If anything could have helped, I would have done it. And everything kept popping up was cannabis. If I had the money, I would have dropped it and ran to Colorado. But it's really hard to pick up a family of five and run to Colorado. I wish it was that easy, believe me, because it's beautiful out there. So started smoking cannabis and doing what I could. Was a Bible school teacher for 7 years. No record, no anything. We got to the hospital. They asked the normal intake questions of, why haven't you been taking your medicine? I don't have insurance. I can't afford it. Well, how have you been treating it? Cannabis. And I didn't think anything of it. They asked the normal, are you pregnant? No. Do you nurse? Yes. Immediately, we get home after we get checked out. CPS is knocking on my door an hour after I'm home. I was shocked. We're not in trouble ever. Where did this come from? Why did this happen? They immediately removed my five kids from my home that day. It was a long journey. 5 months, my kids were gone. We had to take five different types of counseling, drug tests every week, which obviously we passed because my kids mean the world to me. I got on some kind of medicine, which has the most horrible side effects, but I had no choice. If I could go every which way, natural possible way, I would do it. But under here, I wasn't allowed to without having my kids gone. My kids mean everything to me. I homeschool them. I'm with my kids 24/7. Every one of my friends were shocked to know that this happened. And I know a lot of parents here, that's always on the back of your mind. What if, what if, what if? Because it does happen in this world. We have been drugged through the mud of Johnson County. And I'm not going to stand back and let Dale Hanna take this from me. He's not going to ruin my life. He's not going to ruin my kids' life. I'm not going to do 10 years in prison for a plant, an herb that if you just happen to set it on fire, like Cat Williams says, is a magical experience. I love my kids to death. I would do anything for them. And it's been the most craziest ordeal ever. We're still fighting it. We're still going. And this all happened in March of last year. So who would have thought that it'd be a year and a half almost later and we're still fighting a child endangerment charge times five. Five child endangerment charges. And this is when we need to step up and say, enough's enough. We need to step up. Every time it comes to voting, share that vote. Let people know. Get out there. It takes 5 minutes to vote so you can change someone's life. No family should ever be ripped apart over a plant. Ever. Like, it's ridiculous. I do want to say, though, I'm very, very grateful for everybody that has supported us here. Our hashtag is hashtag the Tucker Fight. You ever see that? Go sign our petition so I can bring that to Dale Hanna and let him know we have supporters that support us. We are so grateful for everybody that has shared our story, has been there for us, has loved on us more than anything. I love y'all to death, and y'all mean the world to us. So if you can jump on there, share our story. Let them know that this isn't right to rip a family apart over a medicine that could have helped somebody with epilepsy. I don't like having it. I don't have a choice. It's life. But guess what? My kids are my life, and I don't think doing 10 years in prison is worth having to go to jail over a plant that should be legalized. So again, thank you to everybody. I'm done. Woo! And one quick, Greg, come here real fast. Bring Jonah. Could everybody please, please, please say happy birthday to Jonah? He's coming. This is the one that I got in trouble with for nursing. And he was little bitty. I'm an extended nurser, so don't hate on that. This is Jonah. Hi, Jonah. How old are you?
Three.
He's three. Okay, everybody, one, two, three. Happy birthday, Jonah. Erica, thank you so much.
Happy birthday to you.
Yes, Jonah, happy birthday. Our young friend, a future activist.
At
Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs.
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
All right, well, that sound means that it's time for our 420 safety briefing. Everybody's got to remain safe out there. I'm back from the South, so I need to be extra safe. When we return, we've got Dave Weineke's speech at the North Texas Marijuana March, followed by Attorney David Sloan. That's all coming up, and then my full speech to round out the day.
This is Cannabis Facts from Robert Platshorn's thesilvertour.org. Supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. In 1937, the second most prescribed medicine, marijuana, was banned. It wasn't about marijuana. The paper, oil, and chemical industries lobbied to end hemp farming. No longer labor-intensive, an acre of hemp produced more quality paper than 4 acres of trees. Plastics and fibers could be produced from a plant. Hemp can even produce 10 times the energy of today's ethanol. As marijuana prohibition ends, many states now allow farmers to again grow hemp. This was Cannabis Facts from thesilvertour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to process America's hemp crop at hempinc.com.
The marijuana agenda, like the conservative agenda, minus the hypocrisy.
I'm Russ Belleville with the Marijuana Agenda. Join me every 4 weeks for Cultivator's Corner with Jorge Cervantes from MarijuanaGrowing.com. Learn more at MJAgenda.com/about.
I have a package here for Radical Rick. Is there a Radical Rick here? How about a Rick Russ? Any Rick Russ? Somebody named Freddie Barak has sent him a package? Anybody? What is that? Smells like a skunk. It's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation. Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ.
All right, welcome back. We got more highlights from the North Texas Marijuana March. I was out there Saturday, and one of the speakers was Dave Weineke, who talked about the need to get in touch with the lawmakers and make some changes for the marijuana laws in the Lone Star State.
And a criminal here in Texas. So, ladies and gentlemen, Dave.
Thank you, Jess. Thank you, DFW Normal, for this beautiful event. Also, guys, give it up one more time for the overheads. They were awesome. So like Jess said, I'm going to talk about the differences between being a patient or a criminal and a few other different cultural definitions, if you will. I don't want to use the term label because, well, that's just a shitty term. But how are we defined? If I choose to treat my ADD with cannabis instead of pharmaceutical amphetamines, am I a patient or am I a criminal? If a combat veteran chooses to use cannabis over psychotropics for his PTSD, is he a hero or is he also a criminal? If I want to treat my 67-year-old mother-in-law who has chronic pain with cannabis tinctures or THC-infused pain creams, am I a caregiver or am I now a drug dealer? If you ask these questions to various people, you'll get various answers. And that should not be the case. How do you define yourself? How would society define us out here doing what we're doing today? Judging by the amount of civil disobedience that I see out here, I know a lot of Fort Worth's finest out here might consider us to be criminals. Anybody here ever been arrested? Yeah? If you were convicted, you are now known as a criminal or a convict. House Bill 81, chances are, would have helped you in that situation. I've been arrested a few times. The most dramatic was on April 8th, 2015. I was in Snook, Texas. Does anybody know where Snook, Texas is? Yeah? Snook, S-N-O-O-K. It is a suburb of the giant metropolis that is College Station, Texas. Apparently got some Aggies in the house. So I was working Chili Fest. I was building the stage. I was on the stage crew. We were there for an entire week. The festival ended Saturday night at midnight. We arrived on the job site at 8 o'clock Sunday morning to start tearing down the stages. We were greeted by about 15 to 20 different officers surrounding our van, pulling us out individually. They took six of us to jail. And they maybe, between all six of us, maybe had an ounce and a half of ganja. House Bill 81 would have saved the state of Texas $60,000 from that one morning. Think about that. $60,000. I'm here to tell you today that you are not criminals. You are activists. You're out here today marching in support of what you believe in, using your voice. You are not criminals. You are heroes. Guys, we are fighting a fight that seems never ending. But believe me, the end is near. We have to keep fighting, though. We're not done. There's still work to be done. These marches are a lot of fun. These events, all these vendors out here, everyone's having a great time. We're going to march down the street to the courthouse, and we're going to hear some even better speakers than myself. And while these marches bring tremendous awareness, marches don't change laws. There's one way to change drug laws in this state, and that is to talk to your representatives and let them know how you feel. Show of hands, round of applause. During this session, right now, who has contacted your representatives? Anybody here? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. One more show of hands, a round of applause. Who's taken some action this week with House Bill 2107? I know you did. I know you did. I know you did. Thank you, folks, very, very much. I challenge each and every one of you here today. I challenge you this week to contact your representatives. This young lady says if you don't feel comfortable with a phone call or an email, she's got postcards that you can sign right now, and she will send them out for you. So if you want to talk to this lady, she's the real hero right now. But I challenge each and every one of you here today, contact your representatives. Tell them that you support and that you think that they should support House Bill 81, the decriminalization bill, House Bill 2107, the expansion to the Texas Compassionate Use Program. If you're not already registered to vote, like this young lady just reminded me, please do that. The table in the back? All right, fantastic, fantastic. I'm sorry? Correct, today is Municipal Election Day, that's fantastic. Everybody needs to be involved in that. Everybody should vote. Like Russ Belville said, voting matters. Because of people voting and taking action, they can legally go to a store and buy cannabis in Oregon. That's amazing. So I challenge each and every one of you to contact your reps this week. I will be marching again with some of these fine people 1 week from today in Austin, Texas. We're going to march onto the Capitol grounds. We're going to have a rally on the south steps of the Texas State Capitol building, a building that you pay for, by the way, each and every one of you. You have to let these people know how you feel because they work for you. Guys, thank you very, very much for your time. I'm going to now turn the mic over to Jess, I guess, here. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Dave.
Dave doing a great job there speaking at the North Texas Marijuana March. We all gathered there in Burnett Park and got about at least 1,000 people. I'm going to say maybe 1,100, 1,200 people filling the streets, bicycle cops leading us the whole way, people smoking the whole way, and we took over the steps of the Tarrant County Courthouse, smoking on the courthouse steps as we delivered speeches. It is not to be missed.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
It's time for Cannabis Facts about Teen Drug Use from Robert Platschorn's thesilvertour.org. This message is supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. A recent survey by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control indicates that in states that have legalized medical marijuana, the rate of marijuana consumption among high school students has not increased. In fact, in legal states like Colorado, teen use has actually decreased significantly. It's simply no longer a big deal for teenagers in legal states. This was Cannabis Facts from thesilvertour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
I'm Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda. Join me every 4 weeks for the Freedom Leaf Preview with Steve Bloom from Freedom Leaf Magazine. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about.
Vacation to North Dakota, you know, because they've got a town called Argusville. What are you smoking there, boy?
It's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation. Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ.
All right, everyone. We get you back to the North Texas Marijuana March, where David Sloan spoke. He's the attorney at the law office of David Sloan and a huge supporter of DFW Normal. Check out what he had to say on that beautiful Texas day.
I want you to save the name David Sloan in your phone, S-L-O-A-N-E. Law offices of David Sloan, go ahead and lock him in case you ever get busted with THC in the state of Texas. And without further ado, I'd like to introduce you all to my normal attorney. Hopefully one day he will be yours, Attorney David Sloan.
How's it going, guys? How you doing? It's an exciting time in the world of cannabis reform, is it not? I mean, check it out. Look, pot was cool all the way back in the Ming Dynasty, and then the United States government came along for some of the most nefarious reasons and outlawed it. And then they used super world power through treaties to outlaw it and ban it worldwide, and then it just became the norm. You know, God gave it to us and the government took it away. Our government, United States government, did that. You know, and we're a lot of we have so many opportunities every day when we meet people. Look, if I can stand and talk to a district judge and argue pro cannabis, you know, you guys can do it with, you know, your workmates and your boss And yeah, it's every each and every one of you's job. Hear that? It's each and every one of you's job to change public perception. And because that's what's happened here. Look, we can take all these press clippings about, we did a march, we did this, we did, you know, and that we made marijuana legal. But the truth of the matter is, you know, as a kid, you hid your weed because if your parents found it, they would flush it. Now, kids hide their weed because if their parents find it, they'll smoke it. That's the truth. I have three generations sitting in my office sometimes when little Bumpus is in trouble. Grandma's there too. Look, I've said some things. I've thrown up some cautionary notes in the world of the patients and all the reform that's going on over in that arena, and it's amazing. And God, it's, you know, and in Texas, and it's probably maybe going to help our situation through these incremental changes. But let's not let that become. Let's not be dishonest with them. Okay, they're already starting to say it, man. Give them medical. Next thing you know, they're going to want to smoke that shit in their garage, you know? That's what they're saying. And you know what? They're right. And we need to tell them that. And if we spend all our time focused on this one sliver of the pie in the world of cannabis reform, then we're not being honest. And we need to, anytime the discussion comes up, you need to talk about how cannabis prohibition in general is just used as this huge means of control of the people. You know, if they can stick the big C on your forehead, they can take your kids, they can take your car, they can take everything you've worked your entire life for. They can take your freedom, they certainly have taken your privacy. It's not just about patients. And we need to always be straight up and look at all the people that are locked in boxes and all the people that are getting fingered on the side of the highway and the you can't go to Colorado without getting stopped coming back now. Don't know what they're doing, but they're identifying you. I mean, I know it sounds Orwellian, but it is. This is what they're doing. How many young men out here are under 25? Okay, keep your hand up. How many of you have had your driver's license suspended or taken away from you because of cannabis use? You know, that doesn't sound like that big a deal, did it, Austin? Well, yes, it is. When you make it where a person can't get to work, they're absolutely worthless. They need a ride everywhere. And what? And money? Oh my God! Probation fees? $60 a month? Sign you up for it. We'll put you on the 3-year plan. And let's add all the bells and whistles. You know how much money those people are making? So, let's always be honest. It's great for the patients. We're behind them 100%. We're going to help them, but we're about ending prohibition. Is that what we're about? Yeah. Hell yes. All of it. All of it. The government is using this as a tool to just stick its fingers in our lives. And that ain't right.
No, sir, that ain't right. That's Attorney David Sloan speaking at the North Texas Marijuana March. It was an amazing event. And when we come back, we'll play my full speech from the early festivities before we began marching, where you've heard me explain it before, but I love telling the Texans how marijuana is our civil right. It's in all 10 of the Bill of Rights when we return.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association and the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Norman. And I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
The Marijuana Agenda. Like the liberal agenda, but with profits. Ka-ching.
I'm Russ Belville from The Marijuana Agenda. Join me every 4 weeks for Our Government at Work, the latest in cannabis reform at the local, state, federal, and international level. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about.
Pot 2.0.
It's not your father's Woodstock weed.
It's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation. Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ.
Welcome back, everybody. Just closing up this edition of Toker Talk Radio and our focus on the North Texas Marijuana March we turned from. And a reminder, we've got more new segments coming up tomorrow, but this is my speech, the full version of my speech from Saturday afternoon.
All right. So before I hog the mic any longer, I want to introduce you guys to somebody who has been a big inspiration to me as a marijuana activist since I became involved in 2011. I have listened to this man speak literally for hours on end because he's got a radio show he does five times a week where he talks about marijuana for 2 hours a day. Extremely educational, extremely inspiring. All the way from Portland, Oregon, my friend and mentor, Radical Russ Belville.
Yeah. Hello, Texas.
Hello. Yeah.
From Portland, Oregon, where at my house, I can wake up in the morning, drink some coffee, put on some shoes, walk 6 blocks down the road, and buy some weed.
Yeah.
Or buy some concentrates. Legally! Like, I can walk into a store and they check my ID and I can buy marijuana and walk home with it. And nobody cares. It's beautiful. And guess what? The sky didn't fall. Everything's still working pretty much the same as it used to, except maybe people have a little more of a smile on their face these days. Don't you think we could do that in Texas? I mean, come on. We're all smoking weed. They know we're smoking weed. They know we know they know we're smoking weed. Let's stop fooling around here and get with the program and just get on to legalization. That's going to take steps. HB 2107, you got to make that step into medical. You're going to have that HB 81, that step into decrim. But man, you take enough steps and you eventually walked a mile. You walked 1,000 miles eventually. And understand, that's where we started in Oregon as well. We started with decrim in 1973, started with medical in 1998. Fortunately, you're not going to have to wait 40 years to take all your steps, because a lot of people have taken those steps before you, and you can just follow their path. And this is the path. Getting active, putting your feet on the ground. Like Sean said, a whole bunch of posts on Facebook don't mean nothing compared to getting your feet in the street and meeting people and changing their minds by sharing your stories. Now, I want to talk about why we're here today. Do y'all know why we're here today? We're here because it's our constitutional right to be here. And I'm not just talking about our First Amendment right to free speech, our First Amendment right to peaceably assemble, our First Amendment right to petition our government for a redress of our grievances, namely locking us in a cage for a plant that Thomas Jefferson grew. But I also am here to tell you that it's our constitutional right to grow cannabis and consume marijuana. It is our constitutional right. We have had our heritage stripped from us. In 1611, the very first hemp crops were planted in the first colonies in America. That means we've had industrial hemp in this country for over 400 years. In 1850, Dr. O'Shaughnessy came back from India and educated the world, re-educated the world, on the medical value of cannabis. That started taking place in America in 1850. From 1850 to 1942, cannabis was part of the U.S. Pharmacopeia, the official list of what is medicine. That means marijuana was officially medicine in America longer than it's been prohibited in America. And the recreational or adult use of marijuana. Sometimes our opponents will say, yeah, medical. Yeah, hemp, but not that pot smoking. Not that pot smoking. Well, I'll tell them something. Pot smoking's a part of our heritage, too. It goes back to the early 1900s when Jelly Roll Morton and Keith Creel and Louis Armstrong and all of these early jazz musicians, Cab Calloway, were smoking reefers or token jive or using tea or muggles. They had to talk about it in code, but they were using it. So our adult use culture goes back at least a century. So when our opponents say, oh, well, alcohol's okay because it's got a long cultural history, well, so does cannabis. Yeah. It is our constitutional right. It is our heritage that has been stolen from us. And sometimes people will look at these rallies, you know, the squares, the straights out there. They're like, oh, yeah, these pot smokers in the park having their little party, having their little march so they can have the right to get high. It's not about the right to get high. It's about all of our constitutional rights. Every single one of our constitutional rights in the Bill of Rights is impacted by the war on marijuana. Let's run it down. First Amendment, freedom of religion. You can choose to worship the creator of your belief any way you so choose, unless you're a Rastafarian. Sorry, you can't have your sacrament. You can't smoke your ganja as your creator dictates you need to do. The Catholics can have their wine. That's okay. The Native American shamans, they can have their peyote. They can have their ayahuasca. That's okay. But the Coptic Christians and Rastafarians and others of faith and of no faith who just believe communing with the universe means consuming cannabis, sorry, you don't get your First Amendment right to freedom of religion. Does that sound right to you? Let's run it down. Our Second Amendment. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Unless you're a pot smoker, you can't have a gun. In fact, there is this federal law, 1968 Gun Control Act, that says any known user of a Schedule I substance cannot be sold or cannot possess firearms or ammunition. Now, they used to have a little checkbox on a form for that. A little federal form you fill out when you get your weapon. Check it. I know that you can't do that. Under the Trump administration, they've added to that. They've added to the form to explicitly say, even if your state has legalized the medical or recreational use of marijuana, that is still against the law. You can't have a gun. And if you check that and they found out you lied about that, you've committed a federal felony by perjuring yourself on a federal form. So we don't have our Second Amendment rights as cannabis consumers. Any gun dealer that Googles Radical Russ is going to see me with a joint in my hand and boom, I've lost my Second Amendment rights. Does that sound right to you? Let's run it down. Our Third Amendment. This is the one that's the killer Jeopardy question, right? Nobody knows what the Third Amendment was, but the Third Amendment is the amendment that says that the government can't house soldiers in your house in a time of peacetime. Now, it's not really something we worry about these days, but back in colonial days, the king used to want to store his soldiers in people's houses. So how does marijuana affect the Third Amendment? Well, think about what storing a soldier in your house really means. It means that the government has an agent of the state in your house watching what you do. Did we lose the mic? We lose power? All right, it's still there. All right. So the Third Amendment means the government has an agent of the state in your house watching what you do. Under the war on drugs, and a Ninth Circuit court decision decided that the government could put a GPS tracker on your car in your driveway without your knowledge with no warrant. I'll tell you what, I'd rather have an agent of the state in my car than have a GPS tracker in my car. At least the agent of the state sleeps. Does that sound right to you?
No.
Let's check out our Fourth Amendment rights. Our Fourth Amendment right to be free from unreasonable search and seizure. Ha! The whole war on marijuana is about unreasonable searches and seizures. Unreasonably checking my pocket to see if I got a joint. Unreasonably checking my piss to see if I've got metabolites in it that make it worthy for me to get a job or not. Does that sound right to you? They're not searching and seizing guys that get drunk on the weekend, checking out whether they got metabolites of beer in their piss, because guess what? There are no such things. They float away in a couple hours. Meanwhile, we smoke a joint. We're unhirable for a week to a month. That ain't right. I don't think you could explain that to James Madison and Thomas Jefferson. Let's count it down. Our Fifth Amendment right. Our Fifth Amendment right to not incriminate ourselves. We have a Fifth Amendment right that says the government can't force you to narc on yourself, basically. Can't force you to testify against yourself. Well, what is a piss test but testifying against yourself? When they require you to give up a part of your body that can convict you of a crime, that's a violation of your right against self-incrimination. Does that sound right to you? Hell no. The Sixth Amendment of the Constitution. The Sixth Amendment is our right to a fair and speedy trial before a jury of our peers. But oftentimes these trials can take 6-7 months before they get underway. Roger Christie, a THC minister in Hawaii, sat in a cell for 3 years before they got him a trial on charges of running a pot church, basically. It also is our right to confront our accuser. Sixth Amendment says that if someone accuses you of a crime, you can face them in court. And I can say, hey, why do you accuse me of that crime? What's your evidence? How do I cross-examine a drug dog? Woof. Woof, 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 woof. Your Honor, I'd like to treat the witness as hostile. He won't speak English. You can't confront your accuser if it's a dog. Does that sound right to you? Hell no. Our Seventh Amendment right. The Seventh Amendment right says that any manner of a civil suit equaling $20 in value or more, we have the right to a trial. We can take that to a civil court. How do I take my dealer to civil court if he shorted me 2 grams on my last bag? I can't do that. I've lost my Seventh Amendment right to deal with civil matters in a court. I got to deal with them with fists or a gun or a knife or whatever. Does that sound right to you? Hell no. Our Eighth Amendment protects us from cruel and unusual punishment. No cruel and unusual punishment. Well, first of all, think of the cruelty of locking someone up in a cage for something Thomas Jefferson was growing in his backyard. That seems a little weird, a little unusual, if you ask me. And you want to talk about cruel? Jonathan Magni was a medical marijuana patient in Washington, D.C., paraplegic, quadriplegic, in a chair, pretty much paralyzed. Cops arrested him for having 2 joints on his person that he was using for medical purposes, locked him in a cell for 3 days without access to any of his medicine. He asphyxiated on his own vomit because he couldn't control his nausea because he didn't have his cannabis. Basically, a death sentence for 2 joints. That sounds pretty cruel, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Seems pretty unusual, doesn't it? Does that sound right to you?
No.
Let's write it down. Our Ninth Amendment. The Ninth Amendment, man, this is one of my favorite rights in the Constitution. The Ninth Amendment, a lot of people don't know it. To me, it is as sacred as the Second Amendment or the First Amendment or the Fourth or any of the others. And the Ninth Amendment says, the enumeration in this Constitution of certain rights is not meant to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Let me translate from colonial into modern. What that amendment says is, look, just because we wrote down a bunch of rights doesn't mean that's all your rights. Just because we enumerated a bunch of rights in the Constitution doesn't mean that there's not other rights the people have. Because think about it. They couldn't write them all down. You have the right to a tasty dinner.
You have the right to roll around in the grass. You have the right to get a suntan. You have the right to kiss your wife. Yeah, they can't write all the rights down. But when they founded this country, they said it was founded because of a search for protection of our inalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Not to be happy. You don't have a right to be happy, but you have the right to pursue it. I don't know about you, does smoking weed make you happy? Then you have a right to pursue that. And that's under the Ninth Amendment. They don't have a thing in the Constitution that says you can't do that. And as far as I'm concerned, we're talking about an agrarian economy founded by a bunch of hemp farmers who got drunk off their asses. Do you know what a bunch of drunks the founding fathers were? The bar tab for the Constitutional Convention. And remember, 56 guys signed the Constitution, right? Bar tab for 56 guys was $50,000 worth of alcohol. So don't tell me that these guys were soused after writing the Constitution, would think we didn't have a right to alter our consciousness, to be able to change the way we think and perceive and feel. We have that right. It's right there in the Constitution. And finally, I'd like to close on one that you're probably pretty familiar with, the 10th Amendment to the Constitution, which says the rights of the states, if something's not enumerated as the federal government's job, then it's the job of the states or the people. Nowhere in that Constitution do I say the federal government's job is to tell people what they can plant on their own land. Nowhere in that Constitution do I see that it's the federal government's job to tell the people what they can ingest in their own homes. Nowhere in that Constitution do I see anywhere where it says the federal government has the right to tell you how to think, how to feel, how to be, how to act in this country, so long as you're not harming others. That's right. So this war on marijuana affects all 10 of our civil liberties. It affects some of the others as well. It affects the right to vote. In many states, and I'm not sure about Texas's law, but in many states, when you get a felony, you lose your right to vote. In most of states in the South, you lose your right to vote for life, effectively. This situation has caused a problem in America where in most of the southern states and a few of the others, because of the disproportionate nature of this war on drugs and its racist origins and its racist continuation, has seen a situation where in the South, most of the states of the South, 1 out of 5 to 1 out of 4 black men cannot vote. Because they're more likely to get busted, more likely to get that charge, more likely to have the felony instead of the misdemeanor. That is what we wrote the 13th and 14th and 15th Amendments to ameliorate, treating people differently based on their race, trying to restrict their right to vote because of their race. And the war on drugs is succeeding where Jim Crow has failed, and we need to change that. If all those black men had been able to vote in 2000 in Florida, Al Gore would have been president. If all those black men in the South were able to vote in 2016, Hillary Clinton would be president. I'm not saying that's good or bad. I'm just saying the will of the American people is not being met when 1/5 of the black folks in our country are having their voting rights stolen from them. So get out there, register to vote if you can. If you can't register to vote, help other people register to vote. Let's get these laws changed. Celebrate and make sure. Call your reps. HB 2107, HB 81. The only way these laws change is when you change them. I have people that say, oh, Russ, voting doesn't change anything. And I say, yeah, voting doesn't change anything. Excuse me while I walk down the street to my legal pot shop that we voted for. I'm Russ Belleville. I'm with the Marijuana Agenda. It's a live talk radio show 5 days a week at mjagenda.com. mjagenda.com. Thanks for inviting me out. I love you, Texas!
Yeah, I love visiting Texas. That was my 5th global marijuana march that I was able to take part in Texas, and I'll go back. I'll keep going back every time they'll have me. They'll have another march in Dallas, I believe in October, and I'll actually be going back in November to marry 2 activists. You heard from Mike. He's marrying Akila. She's another wonderful activist, and I'm going to be the minister because, you know, I am a minister. For everyone here at Delta 9 Studios, thanks for joining us. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
Follow MJ Agenda on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, YouTube, and SoundCloud. And follow MJ Agenda Show on Twitter. Learn more at MJAgenda.com.
You say you're free, you ran it, you're growing, you're giant, you're rolling, you're smoking. You take a seat, you ran it, you're growing, you're